Back the elbow, Larry, baseline stolen. Get pass right side, wide open, Steele Walters for three. Count it for Osborne. Steele Walters with his third three-pointer of the game for the Bulldogs. They're up 26-2. Hanky to Bates, stop of the key three for Brandon. Good for St. John's Tipton. Brandon Bates knocks down a three-pointer, and all of a sudden, this lead is down to 6 points.
And that's as close as it would get. St. John's Tipton, Osborne boys. It was all Osborne for quite some time. St. John's Tipton makes a rally but comes up a bit short. That game last night on Z96.3 Lake. Welcome to the Sports Ticket. Let's update you on basketball scores from last night. We'll start on the girls' side. All these scores available to you at ncksports.com. The Blake girls win their fourth in a row. They knock off Chapman last night 49-30. Sydney Barrett with 13. Jessica Meyer with 11 in that one. Barrett and Meyer co ncksports.com athletes of the game. Reagan Eilert getting the block of the game for HR Block in Beloit. So Beloit now 6-2 on the season. Valley Heights girls win at Minneapolis 40-28. Sacred Heart wins at Republic County 51-33. Russell wins a close one at Southeast Saline 51-48 was that final. Wilson edges Chase 41-39. Thunder Ridge over Lakeside 49-25. Lincoln over Tescott 44-36. St. John's Tipton girls win over Osborne 50-23. Lauren Dewart with 20 points and 4 3-pointers. She was the NCKSports.com athlete of the game. Conway led the way for Osborne with 12. Southern Cloud girls win over Pike Valley 59-44. Morris with 27 for Southern Cloud in the win. Marysville wins at Concordia 57-45. And Smith Center girls win. Bree Freeling with 20 to lead the way as Smith Center beats Phillipsburg 50-42. On the boys' side, Beloit suffers their first loss of the season. They're now 7-1, as is Chapman. Chapman wins at Beloit last night 53-44. Beloit led by Vincent Pollen with 14 points and 4 threes. Tate Thompson 12. Hayden Budke 11. Chapman up 2 going into the fourth. Outscored Beloit 22-15 in the final quarter to get the W. Minneapolis boys edge Valley Heights 50-49. Sacred Heart no problem at Republic County 65-47. Southeast Saline boys knock off Russell 59-50. Wilson over Chase 45-37. It was Lakeside boys winning at Thunder Ridge 41-30. Dusky leading away with 13. Hake with 11. Grauerholtz 11 for Thunder Ridge. Lincoln wins 46-13 over Tescott. Biggs and Obermuller each with 10. Sylvan Lucas over Natoma 57-32. Osborne boys, as we just talked about, winning over St. John's Tipton 53-47, led 18-0 and 28-2, and then held on to win it by 6 in the end. Steele Walters with 13. Darnell Holloway with 13. And Bates led the way for St. John's Tipton with 20. Southern Cloud boys went over Pike Valley 50-39. Stout with 18 to lead that one. Marysville edges Concordia 65-61. And it was Phillipsburg boys with a big lead and then going on to win by 9 over Smith Center 62-53. So those are the basketball results from yesterday. Any wrestling information to pass along?
No, we didn't have any wrestling except our locker room chats, which if you missed those last night, you can check those out at katycountry94.com on our podcast. So you can listen to those if you missed them from last night. Also, our high school basketball locker room chats coming up tonight around 5:10, and talking with the coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, Lincoln, and Thunder Ridge here this evening, and always online at katycountry94.com.
There is wrestling today. Lincoln is at the Hoisington Round Robin at 3 o'clock. Republic
I think
County.
I have the date wrong on that.
Well, then maybe we should
fix that. That'd
be
tomorrow.
All right. I said tomorrow. Did I say today?
Yeah, you said today. Sorry about that.
Tomorrow.
I was confused.
All right.
About
Lincoln
that.
At Hoisington Round Robin tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Republic County, Concordia, Duluth, Cloud County Community College, 6 o'clock. Tomorrow on Thursday, January the 10th. For all the information, go to ncksports.com. All right, Big 12 basketball tonight. Well, let's go back over what happened last night. Oklahoma State edges Texas 61-58. Baylor beats Iowa State 73-70. Texas Tech over Oklahoma 66-59. You wonder why KU wins the Big 12 title every year? Because a team that beats KU and looks very impressive turns around and lays a big fat egg. Iowa State went to Waco, lost to Baylor. So that cancels out the win over Kansas, just like that. Especially if Kansas wins tonight at home against TCU. So a bad loss for Iowa State, although I think the Big 12 is going to beat up each other. And I do think 13-5 will be good enough to win this league and probably outright. Although I think there will be a team, probably Kansas, that goes 14-4. Although Kansas has some issues, but we hear this all the time. Every year, early in the year, KU has a few problems, maybe a hiccup. They'll figure it out. They usually do. They have the best coach in the Big 12, and they usually do figure it out. Now, tonight, Kansas State's got to figure something out as they're hosting West Virginia at 6 o'clock. Both teams are 0-2 in the Big 12. And K-State has, West Virginia's had K-State's number. They've won 4 in a row against the Wildcats, including in Manhattan a year ago. Last time they met, it was West Virginia by 38 in Morgantown. So K-State has to find a way to win this game because then they got two road games after this. As Riley Gates of Go Powercat told us yesterday, our Wildcat insider, you lose this game, you could be looking 0-5 in the Big 12.
They have to win tonight.
They have to.
Look, based on what their record already is, who they've got coming up, and who they're playing, they have to win tonight.
They do. Do you think they will?
I think they will tonight.
Do you think they'll find a way
yes.
to win tonight? Okay. KU has TCU tonight, pregame at 7:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. TCU ranked 25th, KU ranked 7th, and we saw what Iowa State's guards did to Kansas and Ames. This game's at Allen Fieldhouse, a little bit different, but TCU has a very talented backcourt, according to head coach Bill Self.
Well, I thought that Iowa State had by far the best guards we played against this year, by far. And Robinson statistically is better than anybody. He's averaging 9 assists a game. The ball's in his hands. He's really, really fast, and he's experienced. And then Fisher can do some things that score the ball and really been effective, even though he didn't play the last game. I thought that was only because he got his knee drained. So we expect him to play Wednesday. And Bain is, having a good year. Bain's their leading scorer. So their guards are good. I mean, you would look at the matchup on paper and say, that may be a situation that obviously we need to be concerned with.
Udoka Azubuike out for the season, if you did not hear that, with a ligament injury in his other hand than the one he hurt a couple years ago. The guy seems to be injury prone, although he did make it through last year. Kansas has more depth than they did a year ago to fight through it, but they will not probably run their high-low offense and two bigs very often now with the injury to Udoka. And as a result, Kansas is burning the red shirt of, and I'm not good at pronouncing his name, I don't know how it officially goes, Ochai Agbaji, who is from the Kansas City area. He signed with Kansas this offseason, freshman coming in. They love his talent. I've heard him been compared to Travis Relaford, although I think he might be a better shooter than Relaford earlier in his career. They have pulled the red shirt, and he could make his debut tonight against TCU. So we saw what happened last year. DeSosa got rushed. They needed somebody, and they definitely needed him, because without DeSosa, they don't beat Duke in the Elite Eight, and they don't make it to the Final Four. That paid dividends. DeSosa's still out. I don't know if he'll ever be cleared by the NCAA. Be nice for them to at least make a decision so the kid's not in limbo. If he doesn't, fine. Make your decision. If he is, fine. Clear him. Just make up your mind and figure it out before the season's over. And Kansas has decided to burn the red shirt of this young kid from Kansas City, so we'll see if he can provide a bit of a spark. Supposedly a decent defender, rebounder, maybe can shoot a little bit. So Kansas apparently says we need another guy in this rotation, or at least have a little bit more depth. McCormick's going to have to step up and play some big minutes, you would think. Lightfoot, of course, is a guy that does an admirable job when he comes in, but not an offensive threat. Kansas going to have to go with a four-guard lineup, but before you get all excited as KU fans and go, well, that four-guard lineup, that's awesome, man. We made the Final Four last year. They don't have Devontae Graham. No Malik Newman, and no Svi Mykhailiuk, okay? And two of those guys are in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
Those guys all can shoot the three. Kansas only has one guy that can shoot the three consistently, and that's LeGerald Vick, who you're just waiting for him to go into a slump. I don't think KU fans are super comfortable Vick's going to shoot 47% for three for the whole year. So Dotson and Grimes and others are going to have to step up. I don't think you can count on Garrett to figure it out shooting the three. He just got bad mechanics, but he is a really good defender, so he knows his role. But if McGarrett's on the floor, you completely lay off and make him shoot it. And that means that Lawson's going to play the five. And last year, KU had four guards with a legitimate big in Udoka. Lawson is not a legitimate big. He's more of a point forward at times. So it is a completely different look, this four-guard lineup. And on top of it, last year, Kansas pretty much knew beginning of the year they were going to have to go that route. Whereas this year, they were planning on two bigs. So they're going to have to adjust on the fly in the middle of the season. So it's going to be more difficult for Kansas than it was last year. Yes, they have more depth, but they also have more youth, especially in the backcourt, with no Graham and Mykhailiuk, and you've got Dotson and Grimes, and now you got no Udoka, and you did have him last year, where you just throw it up to him, let him dunk it. Kansas is, I tell you what, we thought before the year it was just automatic. Kansas, well, no, I didn't think it was automatic, but I know there are many people just like, you pencil it in, can you put it in pen and don't have to erase it. Kansas is going to win the Big 12 title. But I will say this, I'm still going to pick Kansas. You got to pick Kansas till they don't win the Big 12 title. But I will say this, I think there is a chance, I wouldn't have said this 2 weeks ago, but right now I think there's a legitimate chance Kansas's streak does come to an end. Not predicting it, not saying that it will come to an end. All I'm saying is, there's much more of a likelihood it will end this year in a span of a couple weeks. You can completely change your tune, and you look what Kansas has. Unless these freshmen really step up, especially shooting from the outside, Kansas has got some issues, because if they can't go inside and just lob it to Doak, you got Lawson, and Lawson has an off game. Where you go for points offensively? And Vic, I don't think people can count on him to score 19 to 20 every single game. So there are probably even more unknowns and some scared thoughts for KU fans with the way this team is. And they haven't really gone out, and they've beaten some good teams on neutral floors, but they've not looked good on the road. In two games on the road, they've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they play kind of a level of competition. Kansas is vulnerable. And I didn't think I would say this. All offseason, I thought Kansas was clearly the best team, but other teams are better than we thought, and it seems to happen year in and year out. We say the Big 12 isn't great, and Kansas is going to roll, and they've reloaded and ready to go. But injuries can always be that X factor, and with Udoka's injury, I think it's definitely leveled the playing field. The question is there anybody good enough in this conference to go 13-5 or 14-4? I think there's somebody good enough to go 12-6. Well, I think Kansas go 12-6, so Kansas gets at least a share of the title in that scenario. But is there somebody good enough to beat Kansas and back it up? Iowa State beat Kansas and then lost at Baylor last night. If you're going to win the Big 12, you got to win against Kansas, either at home or at Lawrence, and back it up. And nobody has been able to do that. And it almost feels like it will take a team to sweep Kansas to win the Big 12. You're going to have to win in Allen, and you're going to have to win at home and get the season sweep to have a chance at winning the Big 12. But Kansas is vulnerable right now.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that. But and one of the things you're talking about when you talk about KU and the success that they've always had is they've always got somebody that they can go to in the post. On their really, really good teams, they've got somebody there. Now you're like, who do you go to? Like,
I mean, Lawson's the guy.
Exactly, and he's not that kind of post that I'm talking about when I think about some of the great teams that Kansas has had.
Thomas
in the past.
Robinson.
Exactly. You know, he's not quite as big as those guys and can step up in those kind of ways that those guys did. But yeah, I agree with you. But still, for me, like I said on Monday, it's like, you got to prove it to me. Somebody's got to take it away from them.
Right.
Because they're not going to give it away.
No, they're not.
Somebody's going to have to take it away. And like you said, somebody's going to have to back it up. Iowa State does this every year, it seems like. Like, they get a big win. West Virginia, same thing.
Oklahoma.
So the only team that's in my mind, if they can keep it together, is Texas Tech.
Yep.
And but that's the thing. It's like Tech did the same thing. You know, they got the win at Kansas and then got beat at home.
Of course, the problem there was their point guard got hurt.
They had injury, too. But you know, it's like all these different things that factor into it in the end.
Yeah.
They just, nobody can hold on here. And Texas Tech really is the only team in my mind that I think could actually maybe do it, that could hold on. But, you know, they've had games like K-State game where they get out to a big lead and then kind of falter down the stretch and don't win like maybe they should. So maybe they're going to slip up and lose a game too, so that they shouldn't.
Listen, maybe Baylor's better than we think, because Kansas got to go to Baylor on Saturday in Waco, which that'll be on Z96.3 Lake. And by the way, KU hosting TCU tonight, pregame 7:30 on Z96.3 Lake, and tip-off at 8. If you're going to get Kansas, you better get them the next few weeks. I mean, seriously, if you're going to get Kansas, because if Kansas survives this stretch next 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out their four-guard offense without Udoka, and they're still, you know, 7-2, even 6-3 at the halfway point of the Big 12 season, the Big 12 missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
So you're going to get them. You better
get
them
catch them before they get acclimated to what they're doing.
Exactly.
You
got to get it figured out now.
Yeah.
If you're going to beat them, now's the time to beat them. TCU, here's an opportunity for you tonight. Baylor, another opportunity for them Saturday in Waco. So you got to get them now. If you're going to knock off the champ, you knock them when they're wobbling a little bit, and Kansas is wobbling just a hair. All right, former Shocker Ron Baker without a job again. He was with the Knicks, and then he was let go. Then he latched on to the Wizards. That didn't last very long. So now he's at Wichita State doing workouts, I saw on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if Ron's going to get another shot in the NBA or not, but he's going to have to work his way back into it. One of the problems with Ron Baker, he's not a good shooter. He's not a really good outside shooter. He's a good defender, but there's lots of guys.
His
that are
size in the NBA, you got to be able to shoot.
You got to be able to shoot, and he's struggling. I know he's been working on it. Kelvin Herrera is going to be a Chicago White Sox. This hurts me to see him to be within the division. Maybe it's not as bad with the White Sox than if he was with the Yankees or Red Sox. But Herrera, of course, traded from the Royals to the Nationals. Now he signed a 2-year, $18 million deal with a 3rd-year option to pitch for the Chicago White Sox. Kelvin Herrera will pitch against the Royals possibly 18, 19 times next year. Of course, he won't, because he won't pitch in every single game.
Yeah.
But still, Speaking of Chicago, what a crazy way for the Bears to have their season end. Please, Lord, do not let the Chiefs season end the way the Bears season ended the other day. That seemed like a Chiefs ending. But here's a pretty cool way to deal with it. Bears kicker Cody Parkey has been mercilessly mocked since Sunday's loss against the Eagles, in which his missed 43-yard field goal attempt was tipped and hit off both the upright and the crossbar. But Chicago-based brewing company Goose Island wants fans who mock Parkey to put their money where their feet are. Get this. The company is having a field goal challenge on Saturday, at which participants will attempt a 43-yard field goal to see if any of the armchair kickers can get off of their throne of potato chips and vape pens and hit the kick. Goose Island is building goalposts outside its brewery, allowing fans to come kick. And those who can make the kick get beer for a year for free. That's right.
Yeah.
So if you think you make a 43-yard kick and you're sitting in your Barca Lounger, travel up to Chicago and go try this on Saturday. You make it, free beer for a year. You miss it, well, you're no worse than Cody Parkey. Although you might miss it much worse than Cody Parkey. And by the way, that ball was apparently just barely tipped. Not much. It's even hard to see in replays whether it was really tipped
or
not.
Yeah, there's one side picture that you can see fairly easily that he got a fingertip on it.
Which was maybe just enough.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, you don't have to get a lot on there to just even slow it down. You know, didn't really change the trajectory of the ball a whole lot, but it slows it down, even with a little fingertip.
Listen, I felt sorry for Parkey, and he is paid to make the kick, and I get it and all this. The other guys are paid to block to where nobody blocks it, and they're also paid to get the hold down, the snap down, and everything else. But I always feel bad for a guy that misses one kick and it costs him the game in that situation. But I do not feel bad about making fun of Lynn Elliott. Lynn Elliott missed three kicks against the Colts. And we knew all year long.
They were all legitimate misses, too.
Yeah, and we knew all year long Lynn Elliott was a bad kicker, and he'd missed a few extra points a few weeks before, once against the Raiders, and that was when the extra point was 19 yards. And he wasn't making stuff. And the Chiefs, Carl Peterson, Marty Schottenheimer, did not address the situation, and it cost them in a big playoff game against the Colts.
Yes.
And that's who the Chiefs get on Saturday. More on that in a moment. NFL coaching carousel is now rolling as Mike McCarthy is interested in only one team, according to reports. Don't know who that is right now. Cliff Kingsbury wasn't good enough to be head coach of Texas Tech, but he's good enough to be a professional NFL coach. He'll be the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. That'll be interesting to see how that works out. Bruce Arians, who had been the head coach of the Cardinals a few years back, he is now the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you wanted Todd Bowles to be a new defensive coordinator, who, of course, coached under Andy Reid before, Todd Bowles, who was fired by the Jets as head coach, he has decided to be the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers under Bruce Arians. Green Bay Packers are going to hire Mike LaFleur. I think it's Mike or Mark LaFleur. He's an offensive coordinator for the Titans. He is 39 years young. He's barely older than Aaron Rodgers, and he will be the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And there are other rumors out there in regards to coaches and where they're going to land, because there are 8 NFL openings when it comes to coaches. Eric Bieniemy's name has been mentioned as possible guy to take the Bengals job. So we shall see. He's the current offensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs.